freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
The e-government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio, July the 7th, 2015. This is your alternative to the corporate narrative, the media's mainstream agenda. 10 years ago today in London, there was a terrorist, quote-unquote terrorist attack. That's been a lot. One of the big things in the news right now surrounding that, kind of reflecting on that whole scenario. But here back in the States, we've seen 585 Americans killed so far this year by police officers. 63 police officers have died in the line of duty. 16 of those officers died in automobile accidents. 11 died of heart attacks. Only 16 died of gunshots. 585 Americans are now dead since January the 1st, 2015. City of Chicago, which they had a wild weekend over July 4th weekend, and that's kind of a funny story. Me and a lady on Twitter who is a reporter, quote-unquote, award-winning journalist.
Award-winning journalist.
Yeah, I got into a little heated conversation about this, but so far, with Chicago's strict gun control laws, we've seen 1,367 people shot and 236 people killed so far this year. Also, over the weekend, there was a 7-year-old boy that was shot and killed with his mother walking down the street. It's just terribly, terribly sad what's going on up there, and nobody really wants to address the issue, and they just want to tell us that Chicago has these great gun control laws, and they are a model for the rest of the country. On the whole Saudi Arabia front, there's a lot going on and not a lot going on. The numbers have still completely, nothing's coming out right now as far as executions and beheadings. I'm still doing every bit of research I can. I mean, with all these WikiLeaks cables coming out, we have seen how much control Saudi Arabia has on the media, and I think we're now seeing a result of that. But let me go ahead and introduce everybody that's in studio tonight. As always, our wonderful producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how you doing?
Absolutely wonderful, Mr. Gibson. How are you this
evening? Doing good. And we have the three-time Iraq War veteran here in the house with my best friend since I was 6-7 years old, Kelvin Jones. Kelvin, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing tonight, man?
Can't complain.
Good to hear.
So I don't know if y'all saw it in the news, but we are cutting 40,000 troops from the military. What do you think about that, Kelvin? You think it's a good thing, bad thing, indifferent?
I'm really indifferent about it. I think they're trying to spin it as they're trying to cut back on the defense budget, cut down personnel, but that's not really going to do anything but have a bunch of guys on the street, you know, who don't have a job anymore. What they could cut back on is, hey, maybe we don't need so many, like, you know, fighter jets because, you know, we're getting into dogfights every day. You know, we need things like that, I suppose. Or maybe we need aircraft carriers. Stuff, you know, war is not fought like that anymore. And I just think that, in all honesty, it's just a talking point to say they're trying to bring the defense budget down. But in all honesty, you're putting a bunch of guys out. And I've been in the Army when they were doing, like, troop reductions, and they'll put you out for coughing and farting at that point. They'll look for excuses to put you out at that point.
You know, Kelvin, I've got to ask this, though. I mean, really, do you think they'll honestly reduce the defense budget? My personal thought is, and we were just listening a moment ago to one of the corporate mainstream media outlets, Fox News. They were running a piece a minute ago of the more of the rhetoric about let's build this big giant fence between Mexico and the United States. My personal thought is that there's going to be a good chunk of that money going down there. Here's the big issue with all of this. Whenever we talk about defense spending, something that a little casual little number that we toss about here on the show, how much money did the Pentagon lose not too terribly long ago?
I want to say it was $8.5 trillion.
Trillion with a T, right? Not with a B.
No, it was definitely with the one tall line with another little line across it.
A very big, huge tall line.
Yeah.
Trillion, $8 trillion, $8.5 trillion. That's $500 billion, give or take. $1 trillion that the Pentagon just lost.
But see, here's the deal, too. They can cut troops to save money, but what about these defense contracts? You know, that's where the money is made at. They don't have to have the troops to build drones at this point.
The $800 toilet seats? Yeah.
Right. And I know you've told me some stories about that, Kelvin. Why don't you kind of tell me some of the stuff you've told me about the hammers and that whole thing.
I want to hear this.
Well, everything in the Army is overpriced from what I see, like what you'd pay for. My big thing is, like, there was this it's like this little rubber piece that fits on an Apache helicopter. And the amount it cost to actually manufacture that thing, I want to say, is like maybe 5 cents, but the government spent maybe, I wouldn't be generous to say they might spend $50 on it, but that's what happens when you get no-bid contracts with the military.
How that happens? How does something like that happen? I mean, we're an open and honest, trusting government, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's not any lobbyists involved.
No. Fine manufacturers of quality Apache helicopter parts.
No backroom deals being made.
None whatsoever. Nobody meeting each other on the golf course.
We're just fighting terror. You know, we're not starting a business where we can continually produce weapons and arms and machinery that can only be used in war. So, you know, that's not what these wars are about. It's about keeping people free.
Well, we're not in war anymore right now, right?
We had been in war. Oh, wait a minute.
There's a thing called advisors, I believe. That they keep over there, and I don't know if you heard the story about this. It was a story we had on antimedia.org last week, and there was a situation, we talked about it last Thursday in great length, but there was a situation in Afghanistan, and Obama said, you know, we're not actively in combat missions right now in Afghanistan, blah, 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 blah. And there was some kind of warlord guy, whatever, and all of a sudden these U.S. troops, like just straight up a unit, United States goes and raids this guy's house. So it shows that the politicians saying that we're not actively in combat, we are. And they got caught, and there was a bunch of protests in Afghanistan over this raid, you know, and about how, you know, we're saying one thing and we're doing another and blah, 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 blah. But did you hear about that?
I haven't heard about that, but I'm more surprised that it is actual U.S. troops doing this because we are really good at doing proxy wars now from what I see.
One to talk about tonight for half a second, and actually our good friend Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely not running away from this whole Yemen thing right now.
No, they're plunging straight forward.
You know, they can only control the media narrative so much, it appears, and it's not really being reported on here in the States, but the whole Yemen thing. I mean, just yesterday there were 45 civilians that were killed
and 50 wounded.
Yeah, but you know, they tell you that, well, you know, they're all bad guys, they're this or that. Did y'all hear the story? And we're going to try, we're working on this now to get the story up tomorrow, but there was a new batch of leaks that have come out from WikiLeaks, and I haven't had it complete. We've got one of our great writers that can translate from Arabic, and, you know, I can't read Arabic. I did a really crappy online translation of one of these cables, and basically what it was saying was, from what I gathered and pieced it together, was somebody from Saudi Arabia had gone to the Vatican to garner support for Saudi Arabia and basically the whole Syria mission, which is we've heard about since 2013 now, that, you know, something has to be done with Syria. Saudi Arabia is definitely all about doing something about Syria. But they had gone to the Vatican and told the Vatican, okay, if you'll back this up, then, you know, we're not going to mess with any of the Christians in Syria. If you'll just back us up in wanting to take out Assad. How much, you know, from your time over there, how did you see really much influence that Saudi Arabia had in the region?
Me personally, no. Me personally, no, I didn't, but...
But you were only stationed in Iraq. You never...
I can't speak on that, but... The Vatican?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, all it would be more is for a moral support kind of a thing, just kind of giving the thumbs up, saying, you know, this regime is terrible and something needs to be done about it. Because it's a political move, because...
It is. Sounds,
you know,
like it.
If the Vatican signs off on something like that and says, you know, they're doing something right, then, you know, you're going to have millions of Christians around the world go, eh, it must be okay. They're going to go blow up some people, but it must be okay because the Pope said it.
The Pope says it's fine. No.
Right. And, you know, it's sad, but that's how people think. And it just makes absolutely no sense to me that is how people think, but it is. And then, too, when a lot of these stories, you tell people the truth of what's going on, you know, it gets turned around and people say it's conspiracy. Huge story out right now. It's the whole hacking tools hack. If you haven't heard about this, one of our great writers, Carrie Wedler, she's got an article up right now on the site. But basically, there's so much that it is, but the FBI, DEA, the United States Army, they bought a bunch of equipment from Italy, and basically they can just do whatever they want. They can look at your pictures. They can take control of your computer. They can look at what you're doing online when you're doing it live. They can take over your, you know, anything they want to do. You have no privacy. They can listen to your phone calls despite what they say. They can listen to your voicemails. And it's, for whatever reason, looked at as some, they can't do that. And then you get, well, maybe they can do that, but they would never do that because they value our privacy so much. And it turns into this conspiracy thing, like this isn't feasible, and if it is feasible, they just wouldn't do it.
Oh, they would do it, and they have. I mean, hasn't it already been established that they look through your phones and
go
through your emails? And
here's the argument that's being made by the federal government. It's the whole metadata. We're seeing just a fraction, okay? We're just seeing the length of time between phone calls, and we can see the number you call, but we don't know exactly who you're calling. We can't hear
or what was said in the conversation.
Yeah, we don't know any of the details.
A keyword or two during the conversation or the text exchange or whatever the case may be.
You have a really skilled hacker. I mean, let's be real. Like, the United States government has the best hackers in the world. Like, I mean, you're really naive if you think anything you do in this digital age is not being seen by whoever wants to see it in the government.
Oh, crap.
You should be really careful about what you, I mean, just, I mean, you can be as careful as you want. I'll put it like this. You can be as careful as you want, but if the United States government wants to look at your emails, they want to monitor your phone calls, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
And that's just the world we live in.
Two words, fellas, dick pics. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the whole John Oliver Snowden interview. You know, because so many people just, I don't think, comprehend what they're capable of and what they're doing. I mean, there's an entire facility in Utah that was built specifically to hold and house all this data. And yet, that's not happening. They're not doing that. You know, you go to the airport and, you know, if you look at somebody the wrong way, they're going to stick their hands down your pants, but they would never violate your privacy. So as far as the technology and how long do you think this has been going on, or to your knowledge? I mean, clearly, this has been going on for a long while.
I mean, what all did, I mean, let's look at WikiLeaks. I mean, they put all of that out there, you know, like, they've been spying on us, they've been recording calls, they've been, I mean, who knows how long, I mean, how long has the Patriot Act been around? And
oh, the Patriot Act's done away with.
Well, it is done away.
Free.
It is.
The Freedom Act now.
Well, but then you have the court that came right back in behind it and said, yeah, all that stuff that was overturned, yeah, we're all implementing it back in place. So we've got the Freedom Act, and basically we have the Patriot Act still, too, on top of the Freedom Act. So it's everything is, you know, it's the big word, but everything is just an illusion. It's just like, look at the right hand while the left hand's just completely stabbing you in the back and looking through your phone records.
Or as they say now, as the kids say on the playground, they're pulling a Cosby. Oh, wait, too soon.
Well,
that happened.
Oh, man.
So, what do you suggest people do? Should they just, you know, stop using the internet? Should they just...
That's not going to happen. Everybody's too plugged in nowadays.
I mean, and look at the good that it's done, too. I mean, it's connected people all around the world. We wouldn't have half the information that we do, but it's because of the digital age. There's good and there's bad in it.
I just say be careful what you put out there. I mean, you just think about this. Whatever you put out there, it's out there. It's not disappearing. It's not just, you know...
Oh, crap.
Poof and gone. No, it's there. Anything you put out there, your digital footprint is out there.
Right.
And what you do, it sticks around now, you know.
Footprint or anything else print.
Absolutely. I tell you, let's go ahead and jump to a telephone call real quick. Area code 815. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
My name is Tom. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Tom from Chicago. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Just what I saw on Facebook just now about Obama saying that he, something about U.S. forces training ISIL or ISIS or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. The ultimate Freudian slip.
You just refer to him as the evil one. That'll be fine. Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
It was taken out of the manuscript once they typed up the manuscript for whatever, that was taken out of it. So they're I guess they're trying to pretend like that never happened.
It wouldn't be the first time the government tried to do that.
No, of course. You know, they would never, ever. The government, no.
The Sandinistas, Saddam Hussein,
but
Osama bin Laden.
You know, they're doing...
Al-Qaeda.
You know, it was a Freudian slip. If you think it was anything different, you're crazy. Blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, the same old thing. And you know what? Maybe it was, but it is kind of poetic that, you know, he said it. He said what everybody was already thinking.
Oh, yeah, I agree 110%.
So, you know, do you think there's something more nefarious behind it, or do you think it was genuinely just kind of a slip-up?
That's, you know, Obama's full of crap, and, you know, I think we're behind... You know, a lot of, stuff that they're trying to cover up and say that, you know, we're over there fighting or trying to do this, but there's a hidden agenda and everything, so I don't trust the word he says.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and jump to area code 616. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hi, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Fantastic. What would you like to talk about?
I just want to talk about all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, and especially the CIA starting with ISIL and creating ISIL, and just how much bullshit that people don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, there's a line between having the clear, definitive evidence of things that I believe we suspect when it comes to the CIA and ISIS, and then there's the more out in the open kind of, well, you know, we were told all along before ISIS really got, you know, momentum going, is that we're funding these rebels, we're sending them arms, we're training these people, and the next thing you know, they're all these horrible bad guys. So, you know, I don't know how anybody at this point can view it as it's not something that was created by the hand of the United States government.
Well, the worst part is that we have made them huge enemies of our United States of America, but the fact is we created this evil, and in light of everything that's going on, they don't want to tell the people the truth, and the truth is that the government, most conspiracies are only not socially accepted. It's not that they're conspiracies at all.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can look at the MK Ultra and all the different things that have been proven to be real. I just, you know, I read it and you said that you could call in tonight, and I just wanted to be a supporter of the anti-media and everything that you guys are about, because it seems to me with all the research that I've done that it's not a conspiracy at all. There's facts to prove most of these things, and if there's not, there will be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing that we have right now for the cause of getting, you know, information out there and what the government's actually doing, I think, is Edward Snowden. Because, you know, before Edward Snowden came along, people were saying the government's listening to your phone calls, they're doing this and they're doing that, and people just thought you were a raving lunatic. You know, they're not doing that, you're crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist. And Snowden happens.
They still do.
Yeah, but then Snowden happens, and it's like, okay, you got to stop running from the truth now. You got to face it. So what they do is there's a large segment of the population that just demonizes the guy and calls him a traitor.
Oh, he is a traitor. He just came out and just started telling all our secrets to everybody. He lives in Russia now. Russia!
Well, and now what does our government do? They just want to know what he has and what he took with him. They're offering him.
They know exactly what he has. They're desperately trying to get him back for that.
They hadn't gotten done filming Citizen 4, and they knew everything.
Well, and you hear them offering him, oh, we might give him a plea deal, but it's only to get him back here to persecute him and prosecute him. It's not for any other vested interest except to get him back and to find out exactly what he's told. You know, there's things that they know that he has, and they're scared of him offering the rest of it up.
Absolutely. And so he says, you know, and he's held by this, is he doesn't have anything anymore. He gave everything to Poitras. He gave everything to Greenwald. And, you know, he says it's out of his hands. But you kind of look at what's happened, some of the pressure that's been put on Greenwald, you know, with his boyfriend getting detained. So, you know, I think the powers that be, if you really look at Snowden, they haven't pursued him the way they've pursued other things. So, to me, maybe he is, you know, being factual when he says he doesn't have anything else. Because, first off, he's still walking around alive, which I think a lot of people, when this happened, wouldn't think this much time has passed and he would still be with us.
Well, the question is, for how long?
The biggest benefit for him is how public he went with everything, and the fact that he owned what he did, because I don't believe if he would have, he would have been killed, and he would have just been a footnote, and we would have never really known much about him or his story. But I think because he was so public, it protected him, because if he would have slipped and fallen in the shower, you know, 75% of the world's going to go, yeah, I don't know about that. It's pretty coincidental.
Well, and absolutely. And how many people have died in vain because of that? that we're not aware of, that's not publicized. I mean, you know, it's an evil world these days.
It really is. I think Michael Hastings is, you know, one of many that we can talk about. Aaron Swartz, I think, is a red flag, too. Hastings is really scary, especially watching that video and knowing his kind of backstory and telling people that he was getting threatened, and all of a sudden his car explodes, runs into a tree or something, and he's working on this huge story. You know, there's no telling how many people we've never even heard their name before.
Well, and absolutely. And the microbiologist, I looked at a post that you guys had posted about all the microbiologists that had died in very eerie fashion. You know, it's really sad. And, you know, I'm just going to say I've got on my side, so I'm not scared anymore. I'm absolutely for you and with you. And every post that you post, I definitely look over, and there's no skepticism on my part.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in tonight. God bless you as well.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Absolute great caller. So, bringing up Snowden, to me personally, you know, I'd vote for him for president myself. Bring him back.
You want him, like, to make the government transparent, man? Is that what you're telling me you want? Is a transparent government?
No. Let's just keep things the way they have been. It's been
That's
fun.
That's a lot of that conspiracy talk again, all that Alex Jones bullshit. Yeah.
Oh, but they're protecting you from things you don't need to know, because if
protecting
you knew
the
them,
fuck out of you.
You're right.
You wouldn't be able to sleep at night, man.
You're right. And which side is it we should be scared of at this point? That's the question.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They keep those FEMA camps there. They're just there just to be there, man. You don't need to know why.
Did you ever, in your experience, did you ever see any of that stuff? Or
No. I've seen it like everybody. I've seen documentaries, and I've seen people talking. They exist. They do exist.
Yeah.
They're there. We don't know why they're there.
Right.
But they're there. You don't need to worry about why they're there.
Just government.
Just like the Wizard of Oz said, pay no attention to this man behind
them. It's just government housing. Yeah. That's it. Get some good government housing. They just decide not to open the doors yet, but I'm sure they'll be a wonderful paradise.
When it opens, you're going to get a big dose of freedom. That's all I have to say.
Can we get any more free than we already are, though?
Freedom Act.
I know, that's the thing. They gave us an act. It says freedom on the sheet of paper.
I mean, you know, and straight from the government. The government that we sit and bitch and bemoan all the time gave us an act of freedom. Wasn't that awesome?
Well, a Freedom Act's better than a Spy on American Citizen Act. I mean,
they says Patriot in the title. Tell them it says Patriot in the title.
Well, I'm saying that's better than a Spy on America Act.
Well, you know, going back to
But that's how they sell this stuff. That's how they sell everything. They put a fancy...
It's just making you more free, man. You're looking too...
Right. If they ever get a God Bless America Liberty Act, I'm moving. Because I don't even want to know what's going to be in that.
More freedom.
Just more freedom and liberty for everybody.
They'll be punching pie.
So, a little bit going on here in the news, and I won't get into it too much. I just kind of want to point out some hypocrisies. But the whole presidential race is heating up, and Donald Trump is definitely doing his share.
Spitting hot fire. Oh, yeah.
He is that. I mean, I told everybody I was super excited when he announced to run. As everybody that listens knows, that I would never in a trillion years vote for the guy. But again, you know, I love the theater and the absurdity of it all, and you're not going to get any more absurd than that guy getting in the race. So, you know, it's
entertaining. You might say Donald Trump's absurd, but I think there is a good chunk of the population that would actually vote for the guy. I really believe that. We live
we're talking about the office of the United States President, which is probably one of the best TV spokesman jobs that there ever was these days.
Right,
look at the benefits. Wow. And we're not just talking, we're talking about the above table benefits, not the stuff that slid in under the table. You know.
But everybody's worked up about the immigration stuff. This is one that's always kind of struck me. First off, you know, I think there's two sides of it. I think I think it's ironic that you have so many Americans that are such cheerleaders for going to war and giving people freedom, giving people opportunities, you know, and we're American. We want to give people these opportunities. And then when people want to come here to get those opportunities, you can't do that.
No, you can't be here.
What are you doing? Go back to where you came from. We'll bring liberty to you, but you can't come get it from us.
And again, we've talked about this so many times, though. What right do we have to be here?
Right. Hello? Exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, are you 100% full-blooded Native American? I've got a little bit in my system, but it's not 100%.
Exactly, though. You're exactly right. What right does anybody have? But, you know, at the same time, I will, you know, go ahead here and say, if somebody, and this is the thing, violent crime, there's a difference between violent crime and made-up BS drug war crime, mm-hmm. or I don't have my papers on me crime, or something like that, getting picked up. You can't be an illegal person, okay? But you can commit an illegal act when it comes to violence or infringing on somebody else.
Yes.
If you come across somebody that's technically not supposed to be here, and they've committed a violent crime, you know what? Send them back on their way.
100%.
Violent crime, but you got to get, because you can't really do that right now because of the drug war, because you've got all these petty, bogus laws. Yep. And you can't sit there and say that a human being is illegal for just being here because they don't have the right paperwork. That's ridiculous, too.
Well, you know, the thing that just bothers me is, like, one of these channels we were watching, I don't know, it's the one with you know, I'm not going to say the channel's name. I'm not going to give them that, but they kept focusing on immigrants and, like, there were 100 blah, blah, blah murders by illegal immigrants. I'd like to see the statistic how many Americans were killed by Americans. Like, I guarantee you that number.
There's been 585 Americans killed by cops this year. Police officers.
We're not worried about that.
Though. Nobody's concerned about that stat.
Nope. Not from Mexico.
Right. So, like, what do? Do we just sit here and say, like, if we just say that, like, cops are Mexicans? If we can convince people cops are Mexicans, will they finally be outraged? Like, is that what it's going to take to play some mind trick on people? Like, people are dying, and you want to focus on something that's not really an issue. You know, deal with the individual cases as what they are. Everybody's quick to jump on somebody, you know, if it's an illegal immigrant. This illegal immigrant killed somebody. Let's deal with them now.
No, they're all going to...
But when it's a cop, they didn't do that. Area code 469. This is your host, Essen Gibson. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I'd like to leave the name anonymous. I'm from Colorado, I guess.
Fantastic. What would you like to talk about?
I just wanted to ask you guys, do you happen to have any sites that I can learn more about, of course, the truth?
Free Thought Project. It's a great site.
Excellent website.
Say it again.
Free Thought Project is a great site.
Okay, what else?
Mint Press News is an absolutely fantastic site.
Say that again.
Mint Press News.
What else?
See, I'm being put on the spot here. I know there's so many more. True Activists is a good site. TheAntiMedia.org, of course.
Awesome site.
Wait.
Could you spell that out for me? I'm European, so I know two languages, and I'm, you know, a little confused.
Okay, which one are you looking for?
What? Excuse me?
Which site did you want me to spell out?
The last one that you said.
There's Fifth Column News as well.
Okay.
And then theantimedia.org. But I tell you what, thank you so, so much for calling in. And we also have a bunch of sites up on the Facebook page that we share from, if anybody wants to check those out as well. Area code 214, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight. Looks like we got a little bit of technical difficulty with that, but let's see. Area code 650. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Oh, excuse me. I thought I was calling the White House. I'm sorry. I just want to speak with Obama. Nothing special, except for about this nonsensical post I read that he's saying that we actually trained ISIL. forces. Is that true?
Well, the official stance is Freudian slip. He didn't mean to say it. You know, people make mistakes, and I'm sure, you know, if this becomes an issue for the White House, they're going to point to the fact that George Bush couldn't speak either, and I don't think, you know, I don't know if it will become an issue like it should, but I think it should definitely be focused upon, because we do know that where, you know, all these fighters came from was from us being in the region and from us funding these Syrian rebels. So, you know, they have a lot of explaining to do, and I think the Freudian slip is very poetic.
Okay, well, I agree with you entirely. I apologize for the miscommunication.
No problem.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay,
so
thank
much.
You, sir. Bye-bye.
So, yeah, that's definitely the big news on the site right now is Obama said we trained ISIL, blah, blah, blah.
That should have been the big news, like, forever ago when this
when we were when out. We were actually admitting to,
I mean,
doing
I,
it right,
yeah, yeah,
and not when it's some slip up.
And I don't know why everybody's getting so bent out of shape now about us creating ISIL or ISIS or whatever you want to call them this week. I mean, and again, like, do I need to run down the list again of who all we've trained and put into power in that region, and then once they've served whatever purpose or completely screwed us, then we swept right in and set up yet another situation to go ahead and take care of that situation. That situation revolts, and we set up another situation. I mean, right now we're over in the region training yet another Syrian rebel camp that was supposed to yield 5,600 U.S. trained and 5,600 people U.S. trained and equipped. All of our guns made in the USA, right beside them, just like the Sandinistas, just like Al Qaeda, so on and so forth. Oh yeah, I said it. Yeah, I freaking said it.
Well, you never did it. Okay, so you were in Iraq, Kelvin. You need to speak to this. You know better than any of us. Tell us your thoughts on ISIS. If you ever even heard the name of,
when I was over there, no, I never heard. I didn't hear ISIS until after probably like, maybe 2 years after I left, then they just popped up out of nowhere. They didn't pop up out of nowhere. I mean, they were a group, evidently, like, they were a group who, they were starting in Iraq. They didn't get any traction, you know, during the war, because our big thing then was Al-Qaeda. We had to stop Al-Qaeda. They were the brand name of the terrorists we were fighting in, so, you know, they couldn't really get any traction.
They were definitely the Nike of terrorists.
Yeah, they were.
And now they've moved on, and now, you know, Adidas is having their day in the sun, and, you know.
That's the best way to put it.
It is, you know, and they want to brand, you know.
There's always going to be some boogeyman over there, and, like, do you have the number? How many U.S. citizens, troops, or whatever have actually been killed by ISIS to date?
I know it's not very many. Troops, I don't know the answer to troops. I know as far as citizens, it's like 4, 5.
So we've had more cops kill American citizens than.
It's not even.
We're talking about just this year.
It's not even close. They're not even in the same stratosphere as far as statistics on how many people cops have killed in this country and how many Americans ISIS have killed.
I think it's sad that people are so willing to follow anything. It's called. Have you ever heard of the term orientalized? Have you ever heard of that before?
A little bit, but elaborate on that.
It was a term that came out like probably in like 1700s, maybe 1800s. Don't quote me on that. But it's basically when you make someone seem like another, make them seem more exotic than they are. They're very different from you. And once you convince people of that, you can convince them about anything about them. They can be your new boogeyman any day. And that's what we do to people.
So you're telling me that when you were, you know, walking the streets of
your average Iraqi person just wants to go to work, make a little money, go home, and chill out.
Well, that's not what my TV said. That's not what the politicians said. They said everybody's just running around just screaming death to America 24 hours a day.
It's not like that. Well, I remember the first time I went to Iraq, I actually got to like talk to some Iraqi people, and they're just people, man, like in a world. And you've got your knuckleheads, you know, like anywhere in the world, but, you know, are we I'll just say this. Are we trying to take care of our knuckleheads in America before we're sending people halfway across the planet to take care of?
No. I mean, we're not, because that's another, you know, that's another stat I always mention every show. 1,300 people, over 1,300 people have been shot in Chicago this year.
I mean, but that's not...
That's not an issue. We have a 7-year-old kid killed over the weekend. That's not an issue. We need to focus on ISIS. That's the threat. You know,
I mean, do they pose a threat to us, or do they pose a threat to our interests over there?
Bingo.
That's the question.
You nailed
that's
it.
The question, you know.
I mean, do you feel that your time overseas was ever spent? Were you serving the American people, or were you serving big business and special interests?
I will say this. I never felt that anything I saw over there was a threat to, because, like, you know, before I joined, you know, in my head, I was thinking, you know, terrorists are coming to get us. You think like you're a kid, and there's like this mad scientist with a rocket pointed at America, you know, and it's, I didn't see anything that could pose a threat to us personally over there. But what do I know? You know, I'm not like a military strategist. I'm not an intel guy. I don't know. But from what I saw with my own two eyes, it was always catching a guy with a cache of AKs or stuff that was going to do harm over there. It was never anything that was an immediate threat to us back home. That's what I saw with my own two eyes. I'm sure people would disagree with me.
No nuclear weapons or cluster bombs aimed toward Houston or anything like that.
No, no, nothing like that. No, you know, no death ray pointed at Houston, Texas or anything. You know, like.
Okay, and here's the big one that you hear too, and see if you can dispel this myth for people. You always hear, but you don't understand, the Iraqi people were just so thankful that we liberated them. And they're so thankful that we bombed and overthrew their country because Saddam Hussein was, you know, throwing babies out of incubators, blah, blah, the whole whatever.
Like I said, I talked...
That all turned out not to be true, by the way, about the incubator. That
once again,
the
like,
before, but.
My first deployment, I talked to this old man. He used to work. He was an old Iraqi man. He used to work on base. He basically just, like, brought us water or whatever, you know. And I was talking to him, and he thought the country was a lot safer when Saddam was in charge, you know. That was his big critique with me. He had all, like, I just asked him, like, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, he said he was by no means a fan of Saddam. Not a fan of him at all. Old man would say that. Saddam was walking down, he'd spit on him if he could get away with it, which he couldn't.
Right.
But the country was a lot safer, he thought. He didn't have to worry about bombs and stuff, you know, driving down the street, you know.
Right.
Saddam wasn't a good man, but I think he dealt with a crazy element that we didn't.
Well, obviously, he was taking care of some of this. You know, now what they're telling us the terrorists are and the radicals, that did not exist when he was in power because he kept all that in check. For better or worse, you know.
For better or not a good guy at all.
Right.
Not a
fan it was
of
what
yeah.
it was,
yeah.
but you know.
Was it better than what it is now? That's the question. And I would say, in my opinion, I think it was.
As far as stability, I don't think, you know, anybody anywhere can deny that. Now, okay, and here's another argument. You always hear, well, it's because we pulled out so soon. It's because we left so soon.
No, we could have stayed there 100 years, in my opinion. Like I said, I'm no expert on this thing, but from what I've seen, if we had stayed there, let's say if we stayed another 20 years, and then we pulled out 20 years later, the region still would have went to hell. Like,
right.
I think I'm one of these people where I believe there's more we can take care of here at home before we worry about
absolutely
what's going on everywhere else in the world.
But there's a lot more interest and money to be made overseas than there is here. And
certain people will always profit from war. Certain people will always do that, but
you know,
nobody's going to get on, like, you know, mainstream media and talk about that. They're going to look at you like you're a crackpot.
Right. And the few people that do, you know, look at Ron Paul in you know, 2008, 2012 saying, what are we doing? We need to bring every troop home. And that's exactly what they did. They, you know, they labeled him a lunatic and said he was crazy and said he was weak on foreign policy and you know, is wanting to, you know, bring, you know, our American soldiers back home to keep them safe, out of harm's way. We're not being attacked.
Well, this is my
These
thing.
These countries are not a threat to us.
And that's what I think a soldier should be, in my opinion. We should be actually defending, you know, America. And I think it's kind of like, you know, on one hand, I'm like, hey, these, because I've worked with some of the best Americans of my life in my time in the military. At the same time, I've worked for some bad people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're good and bad. Like, you know, people are people.
Right.
Just like anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
But I just think that were they, this is the question that boils down to me. Were they saving American lives by being in Iraq? And I don't get the connection. I don't see the connection.
That, do you think, do you?
But then again, listen, I'm going to say this too. And I say this, and you know, some people might not agree with me listening. The government does know things that we don't know, that we, you know.
Right.
That, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, that there was some, that could have been something, but is it, why would you keep something like that so secret? You know what I mean?
Right, because I believe, to me, the evidence that there was absolutely zero reason is the whole weapons of mass destruction, because that administration got such a black eye over that, and they looked so stupid over that, that somebody would have just said, oh, we found something, don't worry about it, we threw it off the side of a boat. You know, like they did with Bin Laden. Oh, we got it. Yeah, don't worry about it. You don't need to see it, but we saw it. So, you know, don't worry. Like,
that's so bizarre to me. Do you think that's bizarre that they killed the guy and they were like, hey, we're going to throw his body?
I don't think it was bizarre at all.
I don't think it was bizarre considering I'm pretty sure he died in 2001, but, you know.
You're talking crazy conspiracy talk. Yeah.
Well, you're right. Y'all did see the award-winning Zero Dark Thirty, one of the greatest films. Great.
Man, great. Can we not talk? I'm not trying to get into death threats tonight. All I'm going to say is Zero Dark Thirty was the best movie ever, and they should have won an Academy Award.
You with your fingers crossed right there.
Well, no, it really
right
should
there.
Have won an Academy
that,
Award.
That looks like the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life.
Because that really was, for them to actually make a movie like that, and it get ingrained in an American consciousness that that's exactly how it went down. You got to be fucking kidding me.
Oh, y'all are just talking crazy talk.
Conspiracy talk.
That's all
Alex Jones bullshit. Man.
Oh, God.
Once again, Zero Dark Thirty is the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
You have to
help and approve.
If the listeners I watch that shit every morning when I wake up and before I go to bed at night.
Something tells me you're talking to a very specific target demographic that may not be our ideal listener, but I'm sure is still listening to us and will probably be listening to us when we get off the air. But it's all propaganda films. It's all jokes.
You know what? And I like, you know, can I say something?
American Sniper.
I'm going to say something. I do. Like, there was a time when
Flight 93. It's all.
I like old Vietnam movies, in all honesty.
I was talking about Apocalypse Now a while ago. That's a awesome.
I love that movie. I love that movie. I love that. I love Full Metal Jacket. I like.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Those movies weren't really glorifying war, if that makes any sense.
They weren't making heroes out of baby killers, for the lack of a better term.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Wilson, but those movies, all I'm going to say is those movies they didn't glorify war. You know what I mean?
Right. It showed the more reality.
It showed a lot of shades of gray in it, and I don't think you get that with war movies now. Like you said, propaganda. I think a lot of them now, it's kind of good versus evil is how they try to
They've turned real life foreign policy into an episode of G.I. Joe. I mean, to such an extent that we're sitting here fighting some guys in the Middle East that look like Cobra soldiers with their ninja mask on. It's like, it gets hot over there. What are they wearing masks for? This isn't G.I. Joe. I mean, they look like Cobra. It's a joke. Sure. And they had this thing come out last week with this ring of death that looks like some UFC and they're training these. It's such propaganda. And the videos that ISIS releases, it's like they have these Hollywood production sound tracks. And the entire thing is just, you'd have to be brainwashed not to see that these pieces are being orchestrated as fear.
And I mean, it falls into somebody's narrative that they need it done, because why Honestly, I don't think we should.
Fox News. I'm sorry, excuse me. I got a real bad.
It's everybody, though. It's not just Fox News in this case.
No, it's not. No, it's everybody.
It's the government. It's everybody.
It's everybody. It's not one party or this party. It's everybody. And you need a, for whatever reason, we need a boogeyman right now, and they are falling into that narrative. And
well, it's funny, too, as soon as, you know, the quote-unquote, the boogeyman, they finally got the boogeyman. Well, now there's another boogeyman, and they thought ahead this time because they said, well, we ran with that one guy as long as we could, and they about to figure out we're at some point we're supposed to have caught this guy, so we'll just, you know, have a story and throw him upside of a boat. But now you just have this mass entity. You don't know what it is. It could be just anybody in this ninja mask. And so now they don't have the problems they had with Bin Laden. It's just fear. And there's tons of them. It's like, you know, I'm trying to think of the right term for it, but, you know, it's like when your house gets infected with ants or something, it's like you see a couple, then they're everywhere. And that's what they want you to think this is.
They want you to think they're coming to get you, and they hate freedom. And, you know, that's the narrative they give you, you know.
That's always the narrative. They hate you for your freedoms. Well, I mean, honestly, and it's always like some kind of, it's kind of a stale joke at this point. But,
I mean, but
if they hate us for our freedoms, the NSA has taken care of that. You know, so what's the problem?
Nobody hates freedom. I mean, think how crazy that sounds. They hate our freedom. That's not... That's so many reasons why, if we actually could look into the reasons, and that's what nobody wants to do. Nobody just wakes up one day and says, I hate this country in particular. Nobody gets up in the morning and just for no reason, I hate them because they're free. And
yeah, everybody overlooks the fact that we've been over in that region dropping bombs.
That'll do it.
Innocent people have been killed by the thousands and thousands and thousands because of our presence, but it's the freedom is why they hate us. It's not that their daughter and their niece got blown up in a drone strike. It's the freedom.
Yeah, I'm going to hate anybody that's dropping bombs over my head and my loved ones' heads all day long, 24 hours.
You create a new enemy every day.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, and think about if the roles were reversed. Think about if they were over here dropping bombs on us.
That's the ultimate argument. The first thing you're going to get is if somebody came over here, we'd take them out right away. And nobody looks at it from the flip side.
From the flip side of that.
Well, we could do that as long as nobody fully.
And that's where you get into the brainwashing. That's where you get into how brainwashed people are, because then you have people say, yeah, but we're over there to help them.
Help them do what?
Right.
I mean, really, what are we helping them do? Calvin, you were over there. What did we help them do ultimately? Except for make sure that that oil went to where it was supposed to go. Yeah, I said it.
I mean, what are
that
we
that right there is the damn truth. And you know it. You were over there. You saw it.
Oh, this is what's problematic to me about it. This is what you see. Because you do see good things happen, like humanitarian efforts. They're dropping food and stuff. You know,
well, they're dropping food because we blew up the city.
Exactly. That's right. What I was going to say.
The grocery store is gone.
Yeah, like, you were doing humanitarian efforts, but why do we even have to do that to begin with? They were getting fed just fine.
Has anybody ever seen pictures of Iraq in the late 70s or early 80s?
Oh, yes.
It was a very, very beautiful,
beautiful
place.
Country. Beautiful
not anymore.
Place. Yeah, no, not at all, no.
But we're giving them
freedom. See, I mean, that's crazy. That's like me coming up to you.
Freedom.
And just punching you in the teeth. Knocking your teeth to the back of your throat, and then leaning down, picking you up, and say, "Oh, let me buy you a beer."
Will you take me to the dentist too?
That's we'll give you some dentures, but they're only going to be either the top or the bottom. You get to pick which one. Yeah.
But you know that's kind of the same philosophy that's over the there. It's like we blow the country to smithereens, and it's like we're giving them food though, so that'd be all right.
We're rebuilding it,
right? Yeah. There wouldn't be anything to rebuild if you didn't blow it up.
Once again, money that could be better spent here building our infrastructure. I'm not xenophobic, and I don't believe that, you know, we should just keep to ourselves. I think there are some terrible wrongs being done in the world. I'm not going to get on like my high horse right here, but I'm just going to say there's some things going down in Africa with warlords and stuff like that.
But you know
we
what?
We don't.
But nobody cares.
We don't care about that.
And that's why I
no. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, and this is why I heart at length, and I know it's just people get so tired of me talking about it, but it's Saudi Arabia. We're sitting here talking about crimes against humanity. You know, they're horrendous, horrendous. And everybody's, they're the greatest people ever to our politicians. We, you know, they sit there and praise, you know, King when he dies back in January. And we're going to have an essay contest sponsored by the government. We're going to have these people fly down to Texas and hold hands with presidents. And they're going to be at the White House every other week. And they're doing exactly what they're saying these other people are doing. But they don't care. And this is the hypocrisy of the United States, is that we want dictatorships set up. Because if there's a dictatorship set up and we can control that dictator, that is exactly what this country wants. Because that's the problem everybody has with Iran. Because guess what? We did that to Iran. We put a dictator in charge, yep, and everything was all great and we loved them. And then they overthrew the dictator, and now everybody's been at each other's throats ever since. And I wonder why people of Iran could hate the United States government, because we implemented a dictator in that country. And they overthrew it, and now they hate us, and we, you know, it doesn't make sense. People don't put these things together.
People don't want to think. Your average person doesn't want to think. They just want to turn on, you know, their news, their, you know, I don't even say mainstream media. Mainstream actors, they have a script, and they're reading that script, and the American people eat it up, you know, and that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. You can, hey, the internet's out there, people. Look up some things for yourself. I mean,
right. And they, you know, we're sitting here, most of the country harped on for 2 weeks about some flag when there's people actually legitimately dying all over this country for one reason or another. There's people dying all over the world. Like, let's focus on people that are dying. Let's focus on real death instead of some imaginary symbol that some people have attributed certain things to and some ideas to. It's still a symbol. It's just an idea. A symbol isn't, unless somebody wraps you up in that flag and smothers you to death, it's not a threat to you, okay? It's the people behind that, and that's what we have to work on. When there's people actively out in the streets killing, and our government's completely involved in that exact same activity, let's deal with that. That's the hate that we're sitting here trying to overcome. Let's deal with real hate instead of some stupid symbol.
Hey, man, it's, I don't know what to say to that, Mr. Gibson. I mean, I agree with you. People, I have a feeling like every time I see something like that in the news, like you've heard it before, it's kind of cliche, but they're distracting us.
Of course,
from something
that's what it
moment,
is. I mean, we talk about that at length here.
That's,
I mean,
something I should be paying attention to.
That's exactly what it is.
Like I said, I'm going to let you all know this. I'm like, we were talking about this earlier. I'm a black man. You know what business I should get into right now? Make millions? Start selling Confederate flags. The market's there now. I mean, if you tell people they can't have it now,
that's what they want. That's the first thing they want.
Yep.
I was joking earlier today, and, you know, I was being,
mark my words, you're going to see an explosion of it.
I was being tongue in cheek about this earlier, but
well, not on Amazon, of course.
But who's to say? And this is, of course, you know, me joking around. But who's to say that Obama hasn't been paid off completely by the gun lobby, and he's like the gun lobby's president, and they just keep telling him we're going to take your guns, just keep telling him we're going to take your guns. That's all you have to do, and they just sell guns.
Yeah,
right. And you know, again, tongue in cheek, but it, you know,
it's true.
You tell somebody they can't have something, it's the first thing they want.
I mean,
And that's how they do things. They give people this illusion of information, and they give people an illusion of choice, where you're going to be able to pick between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. That's an illusion of choice. There's no choice.
I'm not going to get into conspiracy theorists right now, but yeah.
Zero Dark 30 is an amazing film.
Everybody, go check that movie out, Zero Dark 30.
Follow it up with another.
I'm gonna start breaking microphones if one more person talks about that piece of garbage trash propaganda film.
American Sniper.
Oh my gosh.
Freedom.
Y'all are the absolute worst people in the world. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to Anti Media Radio. Listen, make sure to check out Nick tomorrow night, and we will be back on Thursday. SM Gibson, Anti Media out.
Peace. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.